Welcome back to DC Cinematic Minute, the daily podcast in which we analyze Zack Snyder's Justice League by each individual minute. My name is Mark. You can find me on all social media at Mark Meadows.
And my name is Nathan. You can find me on all social media at No Clutch Nate.
And today we're talking about minute 213, part 6, Something Darker. It's going to start with Darkseid saying, "We will use the old ways." And then the minute is going to end with the Justice League standing victoriously on top of the ruins of Pejornov. So we did it. We saved the day.
If there was any hope for Pejornov, you know, post reactor fail, there isn't any hope for it now, huh? Or I guess
they looked around and said, "Hey, you know what? We should probably rebuild this town while we're here."
What's wild? I'll get to that in a little bit. Something we'll have to circle back around on.
Yeah.
It's about Pejornov, so just remind me. Don't let me forget. And tie a string around my finger. Have you ever done that? Did anybody ever teach you to do that in like Bible school, Bible class?
Specifically, Bible school.
That's where I learned it. Was Sunday school. Yeah.
You know, one time, I did something similar in high school or middle school. I can't remember because it was the same building. And of course I don't have string on me. Like who the fuck has string on them, right?
Yeah, I guess, right?
So I can't do that. But I was like, I really need to remember something. And I think I took a marker and like did the same thing, just did a ring around my finger.
Okay.
And then I fucking washed my hands.
Yeah, well, so that'll do it. that'll make you forget. And that's when I listen to Slipknot. That's Slipknot, right?
I was listening to a lot of Slipknot then.
Before I forget, right? Yeah, that's Slipknot. Okay.
Oh, before I forget. I should just play that song.
Yeah, well.
I should just have my ringtone.
You probably already were playing that song.
Yeah. And then I forgot anyways.
Yeah, you got too involved in the lyrics. You're like, dang, dang, these are too freaking good.
I'll never forget that day, though. I was like, well, I'm going to wash my hands, but it's going to like erase.
Yeah,
but
I guess,
did it anyways, and I totally forgot.
I guess the smarter option would have been to like write the thing down, like words on your hand or like inner forearm or something. Rather than like drawing a string or a ring, that's kind of comical. Cause like the use of the string is because like you have,
it's goofy.
It's goofy, but like what's wild is like if you take it back, this is just me and my TV brain and like cartoon logic. So like you just like the typical things and the happenings of an empty pocket are like string, paperclip, lint, right? Fuzz, paperclip, string. Which like that's so maybe that's that where that came from. Maybe that was a thing that like
you should always have a paperclip on you
or string. Like someone must have been like, you always gotta. Should you never you know when you're gonna need string. And then it kind of turned into like, hey, you know that string you keep carrying around that you never use? Use it to tie around your finger so that you won't forget something.
You know, I have been telling myself to bring floss with me. I'm getting to that point in my age where I'm like,
it's a form of string.
Bring floss with you everywhere.
I got those little clips.
Go out to eat. There's always something that gets stuck.
Yeah.
Right in this tooth right here. This tooth is always going to have an issue with food. And you need floss.
Yeah.
You need to just start flossing in public. Like, just be okay with it. Like, just
get the little clip things, a little hook,
that's
hook
wasteful
looking things, and then you just keep a bag of those in your car. You're good to go.
I'm not carrying a whole bag of
floss put picks. Some in a little travel Tupperware box that you can get.
They
you
have
know
the miniature little rolls. You take that with you. You break off what you need and use it. And it's all either way. It's bad for the environment. Who cares, right? But like, I'm not carrying around 100 toothpicks with me.
Yeah,
but I should be carrying floss, and then I should probably use the floss to make string if I need it. Isn't that what Austin Powers does?
No.
He uses the floss.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tied to the episode, because then if Darkseid had string, he wouldn't have forgotten where the anti-life equation was.
I'm still not over that, but that's the story, so
everyone has taken his word for it, like, oh, he forgets. It's like, he just doesn't want to admit where it is because of the great shame, the great misfortune.
But, like, if that's, like, the biggest prize, it shouldn't be, like, a great misfortune. It should be, like, okay, we still know the end goal. Like, go and bulk up and then go back and get it. Don't go far away. Don't go too far away. You know what I mean?
Just monitor them. Well, yeah, no. That's always a good question. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, what
happened there? So
he says, we're going to do things the old ways. What do you think the old ways are?
He's going to say, I did it my way.
I know what the real answer was. I just kind of wanted to hear.
This time I'm going to let it all come out.
Is that where you were going with?
No, I was going Frank Sinatra my way.
Oh, well, that's
I was going the crooner way.
Musically tasteful. I was going...
No, Limp Bizkit's fine, too.
Fred going Durst, Limp Bizkit route, because that's really the song of that I hear when someone says, we're doing things my way.
Yeah, I think Limp Bizkit could have been the anthem for Apocalypse, don't you think?
It probably is. Yeah. We just haven't seen anything about it yet.
Yeah, just not confirmed yet.
It probably was already in the inception of Limp Bizkit was... They were already talking about that. They were
Zach Snyder and said,
Hell Planet, Fire Pits, we're down. Chocolate Starfish.
So in this minute, so both of them, and by mean both of them, both parties, Darkseid's party, Justice League's, as a separate 30 seconds in this minute, they each get their moment, right? Like they get this kind of grandiose visage of like, them in their element. The villains, they've been defeated. We've seen the defeat once more. Steppenwolf is dead. And although Darkseid doesn't seem too angry at the Justice League, he is angry at Steppenwolf. He took out his anger on the rest of his remains. And then he said, I want that anti-life. We're going to go get it. And he kind of bows out, but the way that this scene is orchestrated is it seems ominous, but at the same time it's like the villains have to eat crow, they have to walk away defeat, they have to kind of come together again to now get ready for invasion. And so you kind of see it here, and then the Justice League will, as you said, to remind you, Nate, there's a bit of a different juxtaposition in that. So we'll get to the Justice League in a moment, but looking at Darkseid here, obviously we have Desaad, we have Granny Goodness. Darkseid, he will walk away and his party will follow him. And you get to see this giant hall that would be where his throne is. I think when... well, actually, now that you've paused it, I'm staring further.
I thought it was his throne too. I thought he was just sitting at the end of the hallway.
That's his throne down there?
Yeah, that's what I always thought.
The other way?
No.
I thought he was
the other
out.
Way is a wall. It's just the boom tube. Right? Let's look this up. Roll the tape back.
Yeah. I was about to say, when we saw the boom tube close yesterday, I thought the throne was behind it.
No, let's double check this thing here, just so we're not confusing everybody who's stayed with us for this long. Well, there's stairs. So
there is stairs going.
There's stairs. We would have to go, if you want me to try to go back, you'd have to vamp for a little bit. I can go Diana starts explaining who Darkseid is, and it shows him sitting on the throne. Real badass.
I was always under the impression that he was leaving his palace to go get ready for invasion. But,
well,
I don't know what's in the background here in this shot of him leaving, and I keep saying leaving, but it looks like now that there's a throne at the end, like his little ottoman that he sits on.
Yeah, that's what I always thought is what he was going to, and I thought he was just gonna go sit back down, and just do an order, and then like they would scramble the fighters. So first, I wanted to say. The actual real answer of this, like, old ways that he talked about. And it kind of goes in tandem with what we were talking about yesterday, or what Mark, you mentioned, about the boom tube being newer technology.
Mm-hmm.
And where the hell are the dang ships in orbit? So the old ways must be ships through space, invasion, ground invasion, rather than boom tube to, and then like planet hopping, boom tube to boom tube to boom to boom to boom to boom to boom to boom, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm,
is that
yeah,
does that make sense? Because like, what else would be the new ways? I think the new way was at, like, it just like, yeah, send Steppenwolf and like a gaggle of parademons and so, he'll get it done. But like, It's like planet hopping, boom tube to boom tube, not get on the ship and then like traverse the galaxy, universe, cosmos.
So something that I've thought about is the boom tubes being used in a short range, but only because of the Unity and the three mother boxes were they able to... Like, the mother boxes were the ones creating that boom tube.
Yeah, so, like, they had the strong enough signal with the three of them.
Yeah, to go all the way back to Apocalypse. But now
I think
they
were just, I don't know.
Destroyed. Because, well, hold on. Because later, Zack Snyder has talked about, at some point, Darkseid is supposed to boom tube into the Batcave to kill Lois Lane.
Yeah.
And so he has to have the boom tube technology, but I think they only have it in like an intranet level, and with the mother boxes, it was able to be more of like an internet range.
Yeah, like I believe that with the three mother boxes going through the Unity, there must be they honestly, I think that because we have to look back at the way that Diana told the story of them, they must be the only three ever to exist.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's it.
They made them. They in this universe, they were like, there's only three.
Yeah, it's not like a little Pokedex handheld computer kind of Haru thing.
No.
It's just the three, and it's still like, you know, space wizard technology, and we don't even know what it is. Okay, so yeah.
The Triforce.
So yeah, with the three of them being together, they were able to call out to Darkseid, who they work with platonically, for them to open up the portal back to Earth, right? So yeah, so but then how did
so
like Steppenwolf,
the new ways,
Steppenwolf just must have been like not as far away for when the boom tube cracked open on Themyscira. It was able to get a signal strong enough to at least call out to Steppenwolf and say, hey, doors open, get here now.
He had help from Lex Luthor, because Lex Luthor was pushing all kinds of buttons.
But there were no mother boxes there. The only person that you could say like on Earth, like who would be able to help, I guess in a sense, was Silas. But he just kind of like flipped the switch and was like, "Yo, big battery." And then the mother box was like, oh, snap, this kid's dying.
Yeah.
Or they did like a Data thing, and, you know, and Data was like, I wanted to know what it was like to have an offspring. It's like, wait, hold on, you're a computer.
This is going all the way back to the very beginning of the movie where Superman died, let out that supersonic cry
that
like went all over the world. obviously it told the mother boxes, hey, the Kryptonian died. And then the mother box was like, cool, reunite with me with my sisters, because like we're gonna change this planet. And Steppenwolf, he was being communicated to by Lex Luthor, because Lex Luthor was up to all sorts of no good, you know, like he was doing stuff. And so that's why it's like he kind of tells Batman at the end of Dawn of Justice, like, you know, he's coming here. And I think he means Darkseid. I think he knows the whole thing. Because I think he's been talking to Steppenwolf maybe about the mother boxes. I think he knows like
everything. And like Steppenwolf's search for the things. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Lex would have been like, oh snap, I saw that Star Labs footage that I saved on my cool little laptop. Yeah.
And he's probably like,
and that was a box too.
I would like the mother box, please. I would like a mother box. What? Yeah, what if the mother boxes aren't destroyed and Lex Luthor just wants to get one of them?
I mean, that makes the most sense. In between him hiring Deathstroke to kill the Batman.
Mm-hmm. Now this time he wants a mother box. See, I can see that being a thing. Yeah.
But then turning the mother box to let it not be afraid of the Kryptonian that's still there, that would be some intelligent shit. That would be some like Lex Luthor level intelligent shit. To get the crazy, don't know what it is, space organic technology, future tech.
So the mother box
like, oh yeah, no, the thing that like the only thing that can destroy me is that Kryptonian that's like still walking around. And Lex Luthor would just have to be like, don't worry about him. I got him.
The fact that baby. Lex Luthor is still walking around, it represents a confidence in the mother boxes, because the mother boxes, they went into stasis because the world had united, the Age of Heroes had united the world into a Justice League. And so it was like, okay, gonna be dormant now, and there's also now a Kryptonian, so we're gonna stay even more dormant now. But as Lex Luthor was dividing people, and that's kind of like the theme of Dawn of Justice, like he is the representation of like the turmoil, the tribalism, the unkindness, the cruelty, everything negative that the mother boxes and Apocalypse feed on, like that which is the anti-life equation. Like, he represents that. And I think if he were to get a mother box or have this long con into getting one or securing one, the mother boxes would enable him, because from a story's perspective, it's like, oh, okay, we have common ground. And as long as you exist, the Justice League aren't winning. Like, they're not uniting the world the way that like Chris Terrio and Zack Snyder would have wanted this franchise to go. And so he represents being like a series long villain that like the Justice League is just gonna have to deal with, which makes Lex Luthor a Justice League villain, which is a great thing, and more interesting, I would say, than Joker, which is just like a chaotic wild card, and that I don't find as interesting. But I think Lex Luthor being in the mix, and you know, maybe the possibility of the mother boxes not actually being destroyed, they're just like in the possession of the Justice League, I think that makes for an interesting side plot for Lex Luthor. Which that brings me back to what you were saying about the new ways versus the old ways. The new ways, I understand it as the unity, and what they were trying to do is using the mother boxes, and that, like you were saying, Nate, like mother boxes seem like a newer thing. Does it seem like a newer thing?
Well,
it's a very ancient old thing, but it's also using the unity to terraform the planet, not so much their thing before it was more primitive, like, hey, no, we'll just invade and take it over. and kill everyone.
Yeah, but the ability for one cube that shapeshifts to turn the whole planet into an apocalypse, a hell planet or whatever, that's pretty advanced technology in my opinion.
It's pretty metal.
Yeah, that is pretty metal, dude. Is that we're living it right now. There's some wild weather dominator machine going on that's just chopping up ice shelves into straight up cubes and taking them for big old space parties. We need that ice, guys. Come on. There's got to be another place to get ice for these space parties. We can't. They can't just be taking it from us, dude.
They can't just go and get asteroids.
Yeah, that's, right? That's all the ice. What if we wanted to have a kegger?
Wait, this is... I think the Expanse does that. Hold on. They mine asteroids for ice, right?
You mine asteroids for metals, which is something that's definitely going to happen here, and it's going to be kick-ass, and I really hope... Because then, dude...
Okay, hold on.
You know how much...
Let me see if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah.
You think...
We're going to start mining asteroids? Station.
Hold on, but you're talking like... Okay, hold on. But there's steps to it. They're going to get on a shuttle or from the ISS, the International Space Station.
Yeah, or moon base.
Like a Tranquility Base, baby. Cowboy rodeo. You think they're going to wrangle a moving asteroid?
They'll use drones or satellites and stuff. You know, they got
to do
got
what? Get in the way of the asteroid?
Yeah. And just like laser it up and or
shoot
drill into
it.
Like, yeah, of course.
The explosion will.
Absolutely. Do you know how like valuable those things are? There's
an asteroid?
Yeah, especially ones. There's
I could assume it's pretty rare.
There's one on the news that they're talking about. It's like, dude, this thing, one, if it would hit Earth, like we would. Instantly, like it just crumble and explode in on itself. Like this is a big mofo, but there's an Apple TV show where it's like, but there's a lot of freaking metal on this thing, and like,
are you talking about a fictional show?
There's a fictional Apple television show, but there's an actual real life, very valuable, very dense metal asteroid that is close to Earth, where it's like, where are the plans that have the space drill? Because you could use that and bring it back and, ayo, do whatever you want with your economy. Now, I mean, like, I don't know. It's resources.
Okay, you've been playing too much No Man's Sky.
But it is. It's just rocks in space, baby.
At this point, the asteroid is just a giant bullet if it's all that metal.
Yeah.
Okay. So
anyway, but yes,
we'll use the old ways. We're going to shoot a rocket into this, and we'll pull a Jax Err, if you know what I mean. Throwback to him blowing up the moon with the rocket.
Oh, Jax! I thought you said something else.
Jax Err. Yeah. Scientist guy from Man of Steel.
Yeah. We don't need to be mining the moon. We need that sucker. Okay, we just got to use it as like a, you know, refuel kind of little base with a little taqueria on it.
Yeah, okay, I dig that. That's a nice one. I think that'd be quite profitable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good business venture.
Right? And then it would really start to be like Expanse, because there would be, you know, belters, as you would call them. Like there would be a whole space mining, like, coalition thing and like lifestyle, and it'd be sick. And I would hope in my mind, in like the in the
Nathan's
utopia,
just a simple space prospector, you know.
Yeah, kind of in the utopia in my mind, it's like Gundam. So like, you know, like what 0077 kind of year, where it's like not really war, but like everybody still has like all the colonies are actually kicking ass. Like, they're doing their own thing. Everybody back on Earth is still doing their own thing, but the resources are done, so they're relying on people from the colonies. It's like, hey,
Nate
it's
wants
more
to
like
remember.
A symbiosis kind of deal before radical politics kind of get thrown into the mix. But yeah, it's space colonies and space mining and new types and actual mag elevators that go up into orbit instead of having to burn so much fuel for a rocket to leave the atmosphere. You get the mag elevator. Use your magnets, baby.
Nate wants to be remembered in that way of Man of Steel where they had the Liquid Geo story time for Kal-El and be like, he wants that on Earth where people just remember him for putting a Takaria on an asteroid or on the moon.
Yeah, I can't take like credit for that. That's Arctic Monkeys.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Well, if you do it first, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're right.
Then you could say they made the song about you because people won't check their facts.
Hey, I was influenced by the song. Heard the song and I was like, dang. Called Taco Bell and Taco Bell said, they put their glasses, they were wearing the glasses, they tilted it down to the bridge of their nose and said, yes, please, bong. And they did the Taco Bell.
No, the Taco Bell bong happened and you're like, okay. I want to talk a little bit about the interior design of this palace here, this Dark Side Palace.
I think we are safe to call this the throne room.
Throne room. Yeah, the throne room. That's what it is. I think it looks really cool. I think it's missing a little bit more definition to it, but at the same time, it looks like this space is created with the idea that it would be used later and then further explored later. I would have liked to see a little bit more definition on the banners, see what it is, these symbols that are on here. Obviously, we have the dark side stained glass. We talked about it yesterday. There could have been a little bit more to that as well. I would have liked to see what the banners, the standards that the parademons are holding. I would like to see what's on them. Right now, it's just kind of blacked out silhouettes. There are banners hanging from the rafters. We don't know what they are. So stuff like that, I kind of want to see more of. But I am a fan of the walkway. I think the walkway, again, I think it's something that they would like to play around with again in future installments. And, you know, if a Justice League member, if there was a battle happening on Apocalypse, this could be another 2D plane style fighting situation similar to what happened in the Pejornov with Wonder Woman against Steppenwolf. I think that's been a real inspiration the Injustice games have had on these movies lately, and you know, just having Mortal Kombat on the brain all the time, I just see it as like, this looks like a fighting game level that they would like to use. And I feel like, well, I feel like at some point Justice League always takes the fight to Apocalypse, and it's a really cool setting, and you can meet a lot of cool fourth world characters. I like the image. It just has me wanting more from it.
It seems just like a big old empty space, to be honest with you, and some like alien Star Wars-esque walkway.
The movie theater lights.
Yeah, but also like iconic columns.
They got the pillars with the.
That's an Earth. Those were made on Earth.
It looks like a Hellenistic pillar. Yeah.
Ionic.
Oh, Ionic. Yeah.
Ionic was before Corinthian, but after Doric, right? Yeah. Doric, Ionic. Yeah.
Some wrong Ionic. Guy.
The grooves in the center. Like, that's what we were talking about it yesterday with the stained glass. Like, that's...
Yeah. How did they know about stained glass?
Which is... it's just so...
Why do Kryptonians look like humans?
Well...
Why do humans look like engineers from Prometheus?
I don't know. Why do fools fall in love?
You've been watching too much Hey Arnold. Yes. Can you play the tape real
quick? That's a deep cut, Mark. Can I play the minute? Is that what you're going to say?
I just want to look at these movie theater lights. Okay, so they're static. They're not... I thought maybe it was like, you know, fire or magma that was lighting the walkway, but it's not. They are just lights.
Yeah.
We do see hell pits, or the hell pits, the fire pits, out in the distance behind the throne. Again, realizing that he's walking back to his throne now, is because when Cyborg is interacting with the Mother Box back on the scout ship, and it comes to that shot of Darkseid sitting on his throne with his hand on his chin, and the hell pits are behind him. I think it would have been cool to have one of the hell pits like right in the center of the throne room. I don't know. That seems pretty pretty hardcore to me. I think that would have been pretty heavy metal to have just a hell pit right in the center of the throne room. It would have been pretty cool.
That'd be too big. You know how big these hell pits are?
Yeah, that's why I think it would have been really cool.
It's not just like they got Old Faithful up in the center of this thing, you know.
I think that'd be awesome.
I've never seen that geyser. Is it big? I think it's actually pretty big too.
Dangerously big.
Faithful?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure in Yosemite, right? Yeah, that's a taking time bomb. That's what that is.
I mean, yeah.
Talk about hell pit.
This whole planet is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why we gotta go to space colonization. Who's
Taco
with me?
Taco Bell on the moon. Taco Bell on the moon.
Yeah, okay. That too. That It'll first. Happen.
That first and foremost.
We Make put sure. a Taco Bell on the moon and did the other thing. That's Kennedy.
I mean, it just makes sense, right? You're going to put people on the moon before you build places to eat. That just makes sense. You'd want a place to eat. So when you get there, you're like, oh, I'm hungry. It was such a long flight.
Can you imagine like what would have to go, a whole like distribution to the moon, like that whole side of figuring things out,
like logistics of flight traffic,
food, yeah, to like get the fresh never frozen beef at the moon Wendy's.
Oh, there's no way.
Listen to me, if they start putting fast food restaurant, if they put one fast food restaurant on the moon, that will be enough motivation for me to be like, absolutely, I want to go to the moon McDonald's. And I will do the whole commercial flight bullshit. I'm not too proud to do that.
You should be proud to do it.
If I could eat a cheeseburger on the moon.
Hey, dude. I went to Japan, ate at KFC. I had to do it. So it's one of those things.
There you go. Now imagine fistful of fries. Sitting out, Sea of Tranquility, just at your bedroom window. They got hotels there. They got to have a hotel there.
Okay, so now there's got to be a resort.
Yeah. Again, Arctic Monkeys.
Isn't that cool, though? Okay, I'll spin this back to the minute, I promise. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be cool, though, just the idea that in order to, like, sure, astronauts get there first, but workers and construction workers, foremans, they get to go to the moon first because of course they got to build it all. Like, where are you going to set up shop? Like, you,
yeah, like the contractors and everything like that.
Yeah, they get to go there first. Like, oh yeah, I was here when there was nothing here.
You get a moon guide. Now that's a whole, now we're creating jobs. What former astronaut is still fit? This is like a Jim Lovell situation kind of thing. Like, what other astronauts are still fit to like go, and you can be moon tour guides.
Yeah, they said, you know what? I don't think I'm coming back. Just leave me here. I'll be a tour guide.
Like, you're not going to, like, climb Mount Everest without there being someone who already climbed Mount Everest, right? And be like, dude, you don't know what you're doing. What are you talking about? You're teaching a class and you don't even know. You've never even touched this mountain. Get out of here. You're going to want to say that you're going to go to the moon without the company of, no man's like, sky. People that were like, oh, yeah, no, this shit's hell, but it's pretty dope. It'll pay off.
It's not our movie, but the movie Ad Astra, wasn't that colonized in some regard? Wasn't there a tour guide?
I think it was more commercialized. It was more of transit and, right? Is that right? I remember more of the Mars part because that part was kind of really cool. I don't know. I just like that part of that movie. It was just dope. Yeah. Mars was really fucking like dark wave industrial, like Russian industrial with the giant concrete. And it was like, oh shit, this is, I want to live on Mars in this universe. Like, that's a place that looks dope. Yeah. I don't remember what the moon was like. I feel like there was like, he had to like get
on. There was a high speed chase on the moon. That's what that movie did. It was like, we're going to, it was a slow speed chase is what it was.
In the car, in like moon carts, like in that, in the moon carts, yeah. In the Futurama episode, they did that thing.
It was like one of the, yeah, it was one of the bigger parts of that movie, for better and worse. So the old way. So I was just thinking, we never really saw the parademons eat. And to use the old ways, like if you're traveling.
Yeah.
Because they kind of explain it in Man of Steel with the Kryptonians, and like they went looking for other Kryptonian settlements, and they found the world engine and all that good stuff. But they were starving. They were like, they were in rough shape. They like took what they could, whatever rations from old, the dead Kryptonians along the way. Yeah. They were pretty scrappy, which really fits their characters and why they want to take over Earth, because it looks so bountiful, and the humans look so spoiled. But the apocalypse, you know, if they're going to use the old ways, they're going to get this the armadas ready. I'm just trying to think, like, those parademons must be eating each other.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's like a, maybe it's like an Uruk-hai thing where, like, you know, they can just get like a bucket full of bugs and they'd be set. Or, you know, like a protein bar. Food ration thing,
Snowpiercer roach bar,
or they just have you know, they take everybody gets on the ship, and whoever survives, great, cool. But you know, if you die, that's it. But don't worry, once we like get to the destination, we'll make more. So like, we're still going to have.
They're probably going to eat Steppenwolf. They're probably going to eat his body, right? Be like, well, what else are we gonna eat? Get all this fire.
Like, you're thinking that like the next, within the next like 10 seconds after Darkseid like walks down the hall, everybody's like gonna get on the ship and they're gonna start the journey. I feel like it's taking a little bit longer.
You gotta get everybody ready. Think it's gonna take longer later.
Yeah, you gotta refuel the ships. You gotta plan the invasion. You gotta do all of this thing. That's why he's going back to the chair to like. Start talking about the invasion, get out the map and the cool whittled, you know, pieces of wood and like, you know, chess pieces, and move them across the board and stuff like that. He'll do that, but then yeah, all the parademons will like start working, and you know, everything is gonna,
it's gonna go start sit to back go on they're his gonna throne.
Chop down Fangorn Forest for fuel, mm-hmm. and that whole
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, okay. So there's going to be a little bit of preparatory work.
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
I think it's, like, a good... It's kind of, like, one of those... It would probably be one of those, like, storytelling elements where it's, like, 1 year, like a Dragon Ball Z thing. Well, you got 1 year from today. And, before the...
Yeah.
For, you know, for us to get the Namek, too. It'll take 1 year.
One entire year. Yeah, you know... well, yeah, there will be, for the Earthlings, yes, there will be some time. But I guess I just thought that, yeah, he was, at the beginning of this episode, I thought he was walking out of the throne room to go get the ships ready and get ready to take off. But now that we've discovered he's just going back to his chair to go listen to, like, freeform jazz and...
Yeah.
Say things like tax exemption, then, you know, he would be planning for at least a few weeks, this battle plan that he's going to do. If he's going to use the old ways, then yeah, he's got to be playing chess, right? So he's got to really think about this. How is he going to destroy Superman without throwing one punch? Which is a very dark side thing to do. Yeah, and
he's got to think about it. He's got to go back and contemplate it a little bit.
He's got to think about it. He's got to think about like how Desaad is going to be cunning and how Granny Goodness is going to use the Furies to plot strategy and stuff like that. Yeah, there's a lot going on here.
So, what do you think? Do you think any other different thoughts about Granny Goodness in this minute? Because we
it's
get
best
you
not
know,
to.
Yeah,
it's best not to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're missing anything. It's CGI character.
Yeah.
That you know you could take it or leave it. If it looks like someone, great, that's cool. It's everything's an interpretation, right? It's kind of like a book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll describe it with the text, but you kind of create the features yourself. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so
bit of a Rorschach looking face to it.
Are we done with?
Yeah.
Apocalypse.
I think we're done with Apocalypse. Let's go over to another
Pejornov.
Hellscape.
Yeah. You know it, you love it.
Pejornov, the DC version of Pripyat. I
Pejornov, the toxic city.
What? The toxic city.
That's cool, right? So yeah. That kind of like was what I was going to like go with this with Pejornov. Maybe we talked about it before, but you can't, that whole, did Steppenwolf's base suck up and absorb all of the radiation? Like, they're okay to be there?
That was what you wanted to be reminded of?
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask the same thing.
Were you really?
Yeah. Maybe it's
because
I've also got Monsterverse on the brain. You know, and in the Monsterverse, that's a thing. Like, all the radiation's gone because kaiju be eating up all the radiation. So I was thinking the same thing. Like, he used the mother box on all the radiation as a power source. Is it gone now? Because the Unity,
like, completely all of it, like, no trace.
It takes a lot of energy.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking the base. The whole big old womb, irradiated womb that Batman crashed into. Like, that would have been the radiation. Because he got there, he sniffed around and said, it's toxic. He got the magma pedestal or graphite pedestal and put the mother boxes in it, plugged one more in. And then it started to make the base. And then it gave him the dome. Yeah, like all like the outstretched tendrils, whatever the hell that was going on. Those must all be like extremely irradiated.
It would have to be. It would have
like,
to be
But
clean.
That would mean like the tower that they like attacked. The gun tower would be like the most radiated rock.
Which would also be like either Superman is harvesting it all for himself to keep everyone safe, or it's just gone. Like, it's just gone. Like, there's no way Batman would be in there being like, hey, I'm glad we saved the day, but can we gotta go, man. Like, my face is turning red. I'm tasting metal. Do you have vodka on you? Like, I just need to start drinking a ton of vodka again. I get the hell out of here.
I guess it's just I think we're supposed to believe that
the radiation's been used up because three mother boxes would be very, you know, exponentially using up or reducing the half-life of all this uranium, this radioactive material. Like, it would just have to be like it would just be used up. I think that's the scenario that we're in. Is like, oh yeah, it's all been depleted, totally safe to move back in. Because a giant alien monster absorbed it all.
Yeah. So in like the Whedon version of it, like the weird new Genesis plants start to grow everywhere. Which, did anybody take a freaking Geiger to those puppies? Because people started moving in and it was like all bright and new place. It's like, oh, wait, hang on.
That was a
wait
totally,
a second.
That's a totally different thing. So in the,
it's
yeah,
like
the
a totally different
cut.
Thing. It's like, oh, you remember all the black tendrils that sprouted out of everywhere? Surprise, they're now flowers.
Yeah, they were all like crystalline flowers. That would have to be incredibly irradiated. There's no way that they weren't. And they had a Russian family going up and oohing and awing at these things. Like, bro, have you read Chernobyl?
Bro, you live there.
Yeah.
You well, would know.
The people writing the movie, the people who are writing the scene going, and then the Russian family moves back to Pripyat and oohs and ahs about the weird looking flowers that are now in their backyard. Like, hey, buddy, that's a little that's a little ignorant there. I don't think that's a good thing. But then again, history says otherwise.
That was really like the main thing that I was worried about, them standing on this little ventilation shaft.
Yeah.
It's they can breathe. That's clean air, I guess.
They can breathe.
Good for them. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So
it's only like the one birds. It's the one superhero I'm worried about, which is bad.
Well, I'm worried about Lex Luthor because now this is a whole new set of real estate that he would probably be like, gimme.
To be by the Rawls is
that was pretty stupid.
Yeah, I like it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor. The superhero that you would worry about being here.
The thing that everyone loves about Lex Luthor.
Real estate. Crime. Yeah.
Yeah. What an iconic character. The things that make Lex Luthor so cool to people. He has such a intelligent, strategic way about real estate. I never would have thought of it. It's like, yeah, because it's kind of boring. But yeah, Batman, so in this minute, he's trying to climb up out of the little ventilation smokestack thingy and gets help from Superman. He's the only one who seems to be struggling. But I think it's quite poetic, right? There's definitely some poetry here. Being lifted out of the darkness by Superman, the person you tried to kill in the last movie. Here you guys are again, meeting. They didn't have a moment yet, I don't think. Yeah, they didn't have a moment at all until just now. And so this is the first time Batman and Superman are really meeting. I know they really were trying to reconcile their differences at Heroes Park. I know that it was a very emotional scene for the two characters. But in this moment, Clark is fully back and he's helping. Superman is back. He's helping Batman out of the reactor here.
They're both good guys now. Yeah. They're both friends. They made up.
They're both wearing black.
But yeah, that's really the kicker.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons where I'm like, I kind of wish he was in the blue, just because for color reasons, I think.
This shot right here, it's like, that probably would have been more rewarding.
Yeah,
they should have just like showed him, they could have, whatever.
It's okay. It's
black
okay.
And charcoal. It's still fine.
So
I still like it.
What I was going to say is that Batman still looks darker. Like, I know they're both wearing black, but he somehow they've made him look darker. And it's probably the metallic sheen of the Superman suit. So that it's black, but because it's shiny, it's not so black. But Batman's black, but he's got the metal, silver metal, gunmetal pads, hockey pads on. So it's all right. So it's not bad. Everyone's got their little Justice League outfit on. That's what it comes down to. Is they're all like
And I'm digging it. I do like these versions of their outfits. I don't really have any complaints. Even with the black suit and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's still. This is the Justice League standing up. Just like how you would see them walking up at the in the cartoon show, the beginning, bum 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 bum. You know, you got them all standing there.
They're perfectly arranged too. It's a nice blocking shot. This kind of anthemic moment that we have here. And you have like the two young guns on the left, and you've got the two ancients on the right. Obviously, Batman and Superman dead center because everyone loves them. You got your Detective Comics, your Action Comics icon dead center. It's where everyone came to see is Batman and Superman. But they also all have like theological pairings as well. Like the two kind of betwixt characters that have been created by Mother Box and, other DNA altering experiments. So Barry Allen and Victor Cyborg on the left, and then of course by heritage and legacy and you know, more historical context, Wonder Woman's strength and Aquaman's strength being from royalty and you know, I said ancients before, but it's like just their heritage is what connects them. And then of course Batman and Superman, two sides of the same coin, right? The duality of man, if you will.
Yeah.
So a lot going on that speaks for the kind of composition of this Justice League here. So it's another way, otherwise, you know, just fantastic moment. This is, again, another kind of splash page moment for the Snyder Cut of just having this here. This was in the theatrical cut, but I think a little bit different. I can't exactly remember it.
No, this was still in the theatrical cut. I think it was brighter, more orange again.
Yeah.
But this stance was still in the other cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
It you know, it's fine. If I went the entire movie without seeing this shot, I would not have known any better. You know, I would have been like, oh yeah, okay, that's just like a comic book cartoon thing that they would do. They didn't need to do it in the live action, but
yeah,
here we go.
Cool. So that's all I have for
this. It's like one of the most like promotional shots.
Oh, that, yeah, it has,
I think,
to be.
Like ever. You say it has to be?
Yeah, it has to be. You've been watching this movie for 4 hours now.
Yeah, well, what do you want me to go do? Leave this and go buy the action figures? I was supposed to do that like 3 years ago, man.
Well, this is thinking back to the New 52 when they had the Jim Lee promotional art. This is what they've been trying to do. So this movie came out 2017, 6 years they've been trying to do it. So in 6 years of rebooting the DC universe, they get their Justice League movie. I consider that a win, right? They got it in 6 years, you know, kind of like a 5-year plan. What do you want to see in 5 years? Well, we're launching the New 52. It'd be cool if they made a movie about it. 2017. Mm. Okay, yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah. And they get this shot that they you know, Jim Lee's been working on. It's like, yeah, I want to see this.
See, that just makes me not like it even a little bit more, where it's like, yeah, of course you get the... It's just one of those things, like you would see this on like a birthday cake.
It better be on my birthday cake.
With the edible like photo.
Yeah. That's the best part.
Fondant shit that they got going on.
Let me get a corner
miss
piece.
Miss me with that, dude.
What?
Miss me. Okay. Miss me with it.
I better see it on my birthday, and then you don't get to eat any.
Well, hang on. Wait. I don't want to do that deal. I would still eat it, but I wouldn't do it for my birthday.
Well, I wasn't going to get you a cake anyways.
Okay.
Do you even like birthday cake?
I like that. I can't name drop things here because it's like an actual company and there's no, but we have like a, you know, it's a nationwide, like it's a cake store and it's a little fun. They do. It's round, you know, we had one. For my birthday a couple years ago.
It almost rhymes with little fun cakes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah.
But instead of the word fun, you put a B in front of it. And and there's also a T in. Anyway. Yeah. So I've been really like digging those. And they have like seasonal flavors too. I just had like a Reese's one. It was like a chocolate cake with like little Reese's cups in it and like caramel. And chocolate, man, it was...
Okay, so you really like cake. Now I'm like, all right.
I enjoy cake. But there's other...
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to get one of these.
Pastries.
We're going to get a Justice League. I'm going to go to my grocery store, my bakery. I'm going to show them this photo. I'm going to show them this right here. They're like, I want a cake. And I need it in 4:3 aspect ratio because the director said he wanted it in this aspect ratio. I don't make the rules here, so you're going to have to make the cake the way the director wanted it. And they're going to have to say, okay. All right, we'll do it that way. And then
how much ink costs for that thing?
And I'm going to be like, hey, could you also, when you do the Superman in the sugar can you make them blue and the cape red? Is it possible you can Photoshop the sugar sticker? Yeah. And they'll be like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, well, so the director also wanted color correction. Yeah. The director wanted him in the black suit with the silver S because it was like the 90s and this character died in the last movie. And I think that's cool. But just for color composition, I feel like too much black sugar isn't good for me. So if I could have him in the red suit, I'm sorry, the blue suit and the red cape right here. And I think that the cake would come out a lot better.
Yeah, they would agree with you if you explained it like that.
Yeah, and they'd be like, yeah, sure, yeah, totally.
They would understand.
All right, we're going to wrap up for today. If you've enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a 5-star review. It really does help the show and helps new listeners discover our show as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can chat with us on Twitter at DCEUMinute. And if you'd like to hear more bonus content, we also have a Patreon for just $3 with tons of other podcasts to listen to. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one here on DC Cinematic Minute.